Today's episode of the Podfathers is brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. They have the security systems. You have a family. You want to keep that family safe. It's the number one A, B, C, D, E, F, G most important thing in your life. And the people at Simply Safe are here to help protect your family. And with having a family, you know that there is going to be a lot of bumps during the day, at night, all kinds of time, which can help give false positives for the alarm. So baby breaks something, woo, woo, and you have people out at the house. Simply Safe, however, they find a way around all that nonsense. They actually went to a glass break test facility. So they basically baby-proofed security systems. It's incredible. They did 10,000 live glass break simulations. They refined their detection technology so it was accurate, so it could distinguish a broken plate from a broken window with some scumbag trying to, you know, get in your house. That's the level of detail Simply Safe puts into everything they do. You're putting your family safety in their hands, and I fully support them. We rock with the Simply Safe people. Chapsy has talked about them in the past, how he has the system as how he loves it. There's no contract, so you don't have to lock into something and, you know, forget about it down the road. They work hard to earn your business. They make you happy. They're there for you because you need someone there for you with your kids. 24/7 monitoring, fire and police dispatch, and it's just $15 a month. Round-the-clock protection, the best you can find. And you can order your Simply Safe security system today at simplysafe.com/podfathers. And Simply Safe will also donate one to a family in need. That's simplysafe.com/podfathers. Simply, SimpliSafe.com/podfathers. You're helping yourself. You're helping a family in need. Everybody's happy. Let's roll.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
All right, and welcome to another episode of the Podfathers. I am your pod dad, Clem. And today, we're one man down. Our podfather, our boy Chapsy, is out today. He is getting... I think it was like antibiotics. His poor McCartney has fallen ill, so I'm sure the Casa de Chaps is a very peaceful and quiet place right now with no screaming going on. He said he has to watch out for her because she might try to spit in his drink, which, if we know anything about McCartney, she's already tried to do multiple times, tried to infect the whole house, a little outbreak monkey. But luckily for myself and for all the listeners out there, we introduced him last week and we have him again. The newest shining bright star of Barstool, Large, is here. A fellow dad, confirmed sex haver three times.
Right.
And Large is going to help us out today. How are we doing, Large, man?
Not too bad. I haven't been called a shining star in quite some time. I kind of like it. I might get like a medallion. Yeah. Yeah, so I spoke with Chaps earlier. It seems like they have a strep throat outbreak. And being a father, I mean, that's one of the worst things. The strep throat test, when they put the big wooden Q-tip down the back of your throat, and then you kind of cross your fingers, hoping that you don't get it back as a, I mean, you never want to get anything back as a positive, but because it just rips through the house. Everyone has it. I mean, I'm lucky enough that my wife is so diligent in, she basically quarantines the strep throat people to one side of the house, and then she creates a, like a Mason-Dixon line of bleach between us and them, and then just disinfects as people slowly start to get better. But strep throats and the stomach virus rip through houses without much remorse. So I know what Chaps is going through. I feel bad for the guy. I hope everyone gets better.
Absolutely brutal. And right. Again, if McCartney was going to come down with it, it's better now that we have Large here who could come in from the pen and dial up 95 as well, 95 on the radar gun. You're right, though, man. Strep throat, like, I forgot about this. The hardest part for us with strep throat is just getting that the toothpick down the throat, because right. Sienna had strep throat like three or four times in the last month or two. And because daycare is a fucking petri dish.
Yes.
And it was just like, that was the only part of the whole entire thing that like drove her crazy. The fever she was all right with, the not being able to swallow. But it's like that thing, I remember when I was like
15 years old, I was scared to get that thing down your throat, because then you start gagging, and before it even goes in your mouth, you're like already fucking up. You know,
I don't know how porn stars do it, to be quite honest with you, but I used to think about every time I'd go to the doctor, or three things that I dreaded. They used to just do a prick test on the edge of your finger, where they would press until your finger turned purple. Then they just do a tiny little pinprick. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it just seemed so like ominous. And then the strep throat thing, where they kind of screw around with the punching bag on the back of your throat with a wooden Q-tip, was one of those things that you knew you'd get a ball, you know. And then the third thing was at the eye doctor, where you're waiting for that little puff of air. I don't know, it's like a cataract test. And you're just sitting there staring, waiting for somebody to hit you with the air gun. I've always considered those three things, even though they weren't the most painful things in the world, I just dreaded them, you know.
It's true, dude. That finger prick test, it looks like a guillotine in your mind. And it's just this little needle you tiny can't little, even see.
I believe it's called a lancet. Like, they don't even want to give it a masculine name. Like, you know, I got to be honest. The first time I did this show, we did it on Skype. And so I was basically looking at you in a postage stamp size screen on my computer. And now I got you on like a 60-inch high def, flatty. You're fucking majestic, man. I mean, this is great.
You can see every flaw, but yeah, and
I met you face to face yesterday. We had a nice little hug, and you had a beautiful mustache, which you don't have today, which I'm not sure I agree with, but I don't think I can openly, you know, have any gripes on my second show. But the mustache was beautiful. I miss it already, and it was only 5 minutes old for me. But this is a good experience.
I went in light on you. If you noticed, I shook the hand, and you went in for the hug. I didn't want to overstep my hug boundaries.
I felt obligated. You said that you're looking forward to a little bit of, you know, chest to chest with me. And then they posted a picture of us last night. Obviously, they had two bigger guys sitting on bar stools, and so they couldn't help themselves. So our picture was on Twitter. Didn't go viral, obviously. I mean, neither of us are J-Lo. But it seems like we both have these mesomorph-type bodies that comes along with eating whatever your kids leave on a plate. Right?
Well, Dad, that was the hottest thing of the summer of 2017, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, that came and went pretty quick, though. Yeah.
Tom Brady's one of us. Last time, we also don't have the Super Bowl rings to kind of back it up, or the Brazilian supermodel billionaire wife. So
we do not.
To each their own. That's coming, though. It's coming in the future. I can sense it. So that's what I was going back to the strep throat thing. As a dad that has older kids now, when do they grow out of this shit?
They don't. Like, so automatically, whenever we have any kind of sore throat, there's no panic. But if there's a sore throat coupled with fever, we have a local doctor, a shout out to Dr. Hecht, who is just fantastic. So my wife gets in there in a moment's notice. She has a couple of great nurses, and they cut right to the chase. My wife basically now, just from having three kids, is a registered physician. Like, she knows everything that needs. She's never set foot inside of a medical school, but she knows everything that's going on with my kids at the drop of a hat. So I think she has that Jedi feel for when my kids aren't feeling, and myself too. Like, I'd fallen in a lake the other day off a paddleboard, and she said, "That's infected. Go get it stitched." Obviously, I didn't, because I had something better to do, and then it was infected and it was oozing. So, you know, once again, she was right, which I hate about her. So it never stops, but it gets more bearable. I mean, trying to feed a baby with a bottle when he or she has strep throat is terrible, but having a kid say, I know it's terrible, we're going to eat a lot of ice cream and you're going to get 3 days off of school, it's a little bit better. You know, I think strep throat becomes the onus of the parent once the kid passes, 5 years old, you know?
Yeah. I think like, the ear infections probably cease, as they get older. Mm-hmm. Like, we just got tubes installed in my daughter's ears, which have been, I mean, every single person who tweeted me was like, complete game changer. It doesn't even do it justice. Like, she was always a good kid. Now she's like a great kid. Like, she probably had like misery in her ears that like contributed to her whenever she was shitty. And now it's a complete game changer. I couldn't imagine doing have you ever had to get the tonsils out with the kids? Because she was bad enough with the ears. The tonsils is much more like intrusive.
Right. My middle kid had the ears put in, tubes in both ears, because he was born, he was deaf for the first 3 months. So, that's how bad the backup was behind it. But as a result, and kind of to the opposite of your point, what a great sleeper he was. I mean, he couldn't hear a thing. So when the doctors finally said he didn't pass the hearing test, for those who just have an infant, your infant has to pass some sort of hearing test where they react to something. Like, obviously, they're not going to lift their hands or anything. He didn't pass his. So when we did the follow-up, He had some other issues. When we did the follow-up after 3 months, he was basically stone deaf. You could smack a table while he was asleep, and we just thought he was a log, like he was just a great sleeper. So when they said they were putting in the tubes and that I would bring his, I said, can we maybe hold off like a month? Like, you know what I mean? Because it's been so nice. This kid is sleeps like a stone. But to your point, once we put him in, the world opened up to him, you know, and he'd still get like backup behind the tubes, which would every now and again explode. So in his baby seat, there'd be like a, like he'd be crying, then all of a sudden stop crying, and you'd see like a little explosion of earwax on his shoulder. So like he just had this. So the tubes were an absolute lifesaver to us. Luckily, we haven't had any problems with the tonsils. We haven't gone through that just yet, but I mean, that's probably on the horizon, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm dealing with stuff that you got to watch out. Like, we're in the middle of the braces and the this and the that, you know. So these are expensive type of things that are rapidly approaching you, you know.
Yeah. We get the bill from the doctor. We just send back the insurance cards with the right thing on, and then it's, you know, $0. The braces, right. that doesn't happen like that. And if someone with shitty teeth that had to go through braces for like 2.5 years, my parents weren't like – my parents were pretty cool about a lot of stuff, but you know, they let me know like, oh, this isn't cheap right here. So right. Make sure you brush your teeth at night. And
I do that too. Like my 14-year-old is a hoops player, and he has these Invisaligns, which are amazing. You can't see them. Obviously they fit over your teeth, they're clear plastic, but if he's on the hoops court and he has them on, he'll take them off like in between plays and he'll chew on them. Like he's Steph Curry, like, you know, because Steph Curry is a billionaire. He does them with a $12 mouthpiece. My kid does it with a $200 Invisalign because they change every couple of weeks. And it drives me up a fucking wall, you know? But yeah, so that's on the horizon for you. And I'm hoping the tonsil thing is not on the horizon for me, to be quite honest with you, you know?
Tonsils, and I still have like an irrational fear of my appendix bursting in my body. I never got it out. And now I'm like, yo, like I hate a lot of, when I think about when I was a kid, I hate myself. Like all the colleges I applied to were all in cold northeastern places without any great sports teams.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with you, you asshole? And right. Then I hate younger me for being scared of the appendix, because then I'd have it out of me. Now if that shit bursts, it's like, well, you know, it's you and Chaps doing the podcast.
I hear you. Same thing. I got ahead of myself Saturday night with the drinking. My wife and I were down the shore, and I think I had a slight arrhythmia on Sunday morning. Like it wasn't going fast. It was like speeding up and slowing down, the heart thing. So I threw myself on the wagon now. I'm hoping to make it last like a week and a half, just to get the ticker back in. I don't even want to think about the freaking appendix. And I mean, to your point, I did the same thing. I went to college in, you know, northern Indiana. My son, he's going to Arizona State. You know, my other son's going to UCLA, and my daughter's going to the convent. You know what I mean? St. Mary's Home for Wayward Girls. You know, so I'll drop her off and pick her up every day.
The colder, the better. Yeah. Exactly. But it just, like you said, man, it doesn't stop. From the time they're born to the time you're old, there's always something going on. So, and that brings us to our story of the day, which I guess this baby came out as clean as you can be, because we have a story from Texas. A family was in for a surprise as a woman gave birth to her baby in a Chick-fil-A.
Right.
According to KSAT-TV, the fast food restaurant is the Griffin family's favorite place to eat, but they never thought they'd be delivering their baby there. In fact, the parents bought newborn Gracie Lynn a little nugget Chick-fil-A onesie 3 months ago. The wife said she was feeling contractions. On the way to the hospital, they stopped at Chick-fil-A because you gotta fuel up before you go through that
priorities
nightmare.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And if, as long as it's not Sunday, you can load up on some Chick-fil-A sauce. Have you ever Chick-fil-A, Arj?
Yeah. Well, when I lived in Atlanta, we were big followers of Chickfil-A. We did the chicken biscuits early in the morning. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I live in northern New Jersey, so we have blue laws, so stuff is closed on Sunday. So we actually have a Chick-fil-A in our neighborhood, which is very rare for people to say in New Jersey, but no, I do. So yeah, I'm spoiled. Yeah.
So this lady went into labor at the Chick-fil-A, went into the restroom because you don't want to pop that thing out right on top of everyone's.
You don't want to be rude, right? I mean, right?
She had some screaming going on in the bathroom. Baby comes out. Happy, healthy, and Chick-fil-A not only gave the baby free food for life at Chick-fil-A, but also guaranteed a job at the age of 14. They threw some blankets on the kid, and then I think they brought it to the hospital probably to get checked up. And I think all things considered, this is like one of the best case scenarios you could have if you're going to deliver your kid in a fucking restroom of a fast food place.
And the kid didn't just slide out all healthy. I mean, the father said he had to unwrap the umbilical, which was around the kid's neck, which, you know, is sometimes doesn't end well, even with a team of trained physicians.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, he had to use some Chick-fil-A towels from the kitchen to keep the kid warm. And even on the kid's birth certificate, which, you know, and there's nothing more permanent than a birth certificate, the hospital, it says Chick-fil-A. Like, he didn't even, it has on the thing, and the father was signed off as the attending physician, which is absolutely insane when you think about when this kid goes for his driver's license or she goes for a driver's license, you know, or a social security card or her passport. Her birth certificate says she was born in Chick-fil-A, and that the dad was her dad, you know, the doctor was her father. You know, it's a bizarre move.
That's a power. They always say power moves. That's a power birth certificate. Two truths and a lie. Like, you always have that in your back pocket to throw some people off the scent, for sure. All things considered, though, like, free Chick-fil-A for life is a nice. I mean, again, I'm a big fan of Chick-fil-A. It sounds like you are as well.
Yeah.
I don't really know if there's any. There's definitely no other fast food place I'd rather be born than Chick-fil-A. It's clean. The people are the nicest. They're like over. Like, when I'm sure when you were in Atlanta, it was like, oh, this is what it's like here. In the Northeast, though, they're like almost too nice. You're like, what's your angle here, buddy?
Yeah, they are. They're overly nice. I'm trying to envision where I would, because I'm a big Chipotle guy too, and I find that those places are usually pretty spotless. And so I have a baby, and babies are about the size of a burrito, so they'd have like stuff, you know, with which to hold them and whatnot. But I can't think of a better, you know, situation. If you had to, and of course this is a big if, but if you had to deliver a baby in a fast food place, I guess Chick-fil-A is the place to be, right? I mean,
those floors are as clean as I guarantee those floors are as clean as a hospital's floors. No doubt in my mind about it.
Which is that's a bad thing to say about hospitals, right? But and so, like, I think, like, as responsible adults and having such a, you know, universal podcast like this, we should probably put the disclaimer: we do not condone people having babies in Chick-fil-A's, right? Because it's a nice deal, Chick-fil-A for life, but the risks far outweigh the rewards, right?
I will say, I don't know, man, because like you, they bring that baby in next week and they're like, wait, the baby doesn't have teeth. It's still drinking breast milk. It's like, no, you said it wants a large number one with Chick-fil-A sauce, Polynesian. Uh-huh. And give me that. That lemonade is good lemonade,
Polynesian,
too. You know that.
You. I love that.
Get fancy for you. With it. And I let them fucking name my kid. Chick-fil-A could name my kid and then like just give me the treat Chick-fil-A for life. That's kind of the I'm really hungry right now too, as usual. So I may be speaking out of turn.
You could tell you're getting extremely excited about this, which I like. I mean, I like the vitriol, but yeah, I would love, like, I know there's some places that if you get their tattoo, they'll give you it for life. Like, you know, I've seen that, and that to me, that's like a wild idea. And to your point, they didn't do this on purpose, but it was a fucking home run for them, right? They have a nice, healthy baby and a place to go every Saturday around, you know, 12:30 when they get a little peckish, right? They could do that for the rest of their life. I mean, they could cater all the kids' birthday parties. I've catered. I visited, like, corporations. Like, we went down, saw, like, Vanguard and, you know, the biggest quant fund in the world, and we were bringing them lunch. Could have had it from anywhere. They were like, no, we want Chick-fil-A. So we brought, like, you know, $500 worth of Chick-fil-A up there. And these people who are, you know your PIN number just by looking at you, like those type of smart people, you know, just dug into it like they had a tip on a famine. So the place is universally loved. I mean, that, you can have cater a wedding there eventually, right? For poor little Gracie Lynn.
And then you also get the job, which, you know, again, fast food jobs are like, you know, quote unquote, dime a dozen. And that's like the prototypical thing for a teenager. It's like, yo, in 14 years, God knows what the economy is going to be like then. And college now gets you maybe someone to throw your, like, to crumple up your resume before they throw it in the garbage. You know what I mean? God, like 14 years from now, a master's might get you into Chick-fil-A. So, I mean,
and don't even look at it like from the point of service thing. Like, she could, you know, let's give this girl a chance. Like, let's say she's a marketing major or something. Then she goes to the home office at Chick-fil-A and says, listen, I'd like to run your next ad campaign. Well, what makes you different from the rest of the candidates? Well, I think one thing's a little bit different, right? I mean, I was born in one of your bathrooms. We could start with that, you know. And I think that would be a better angle for a marketing campaign than the IHOB. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to be like 18 years later, here's little Grace Lynn, and she's working for, I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. It writes itself. I think this girl's going to do very well. I hope to maybe introduce my son to her.
You know? Hey, man, he gets free Chick-fil-A. He just eats over plate, man. So, correct. Making a chicken salad out of Chick-fil-A bathroom floor. It's not a bad way to go through life, Grace Lynn. So we're gonna wrap up now. We have people coming in the room. I was blessed enough to join to be joined by Chase Darnot of the San Francisco Giants. He's a dad. He has a new song called Fatherhood Bling Out with a music video. We're gonna tweet it out of the Podfathers Twitter account, Instagram. He was nice enough to join us. Brother of Travis Darnell. We got into talking about baseball, you know, being on the road as a dad, dealing with, you know, having a brother that you know, grew up with playing the same sport, and just kind of just being in the majors as a dad and before having a kid to after having a kid, and all that good stuff. Good guy, Cali guy, funny, and listen to the show. So check it out. We're going to roll into that now, and we will see you guys next week.
Our interview with Chase Darnell is brought to you by our friends at Lisa. Lisa, Lisa, Lisa. Love them, love them, love them. A quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnout, make better decisions, improve your memory, and overall make fewer mistakes. It's not marketing, it's science. As a dad whose brain has been oatmeal for a few years now, I can confirm. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30 plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Lisa's mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. Through their 110 program, they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell. That's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting. Lisa strives to leave the world better than they found it, but that doesn't stop with mattress donations. Together with the Arbor Day Foundation, Lisa plants one tree for every mattress they sell and are committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025. So again, you're getting yourself a mattress, you're getting yourself some sleep and some peace of mind, which, trust me, do not underestimate all that stuff. You're helping someone else out by their 110 program, and you're planting a tree. So our kids, they have a chance after all, thanks to our friends at Lisa. We love them. Don't miss these summer savings. Get $160 off a Lisa mattress at lisa.com/barstool. That's LEESA.com/barstool.
Hello and welcome to a special Podfathers interview. We are joined today by Major League Baseball player Chase Darnell of the San Francisco Giants. Not only that, but Chase is a worldly man. He is not only a baseball player, he is a musician. He has a music video that we're going to tweet out at the Podfathers account, Podfathers Show, on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Fatherhood Bling, which I like it. I dig it. Kind of just living that life. So welcome to the show, Chase.
Hey, thanks for having me, Clem. I'm excited to be here. I love your guys' podcast. It's hilarious. And my wife and I laughing really hard in the car as we were driving home for All-Star break. There was one episode about park etiquette.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
About how long to use a swing. And then you talked about the passive-aggressive sigh. And that had me laugh. Like, I haven't even been through that yet because my son's a year old. So I'm still a new parent. He's starting to walk. But I could totally envision that and just visualize big at the swing and hearing a parent sigh behind you and just know how – I could imagine how irritating that could be.
For sure, man. I mean, life is like a bunch of different Seinfeld episodes at all time. And Seinfeld, they didn't have kids. Like, I feel like we learn this stuff ourselves day by day. And, like, even on the show, Chaps has an older daughter than I do. The other day we had this guy Large on. He has sons who are older. So everyone is going through different things, but there's still, like, the same core values that just, like, every day different shit happens. And like we always say, man, Barstool was founded – for, like, you know, a lot of the younger crowd. But as you get older, you learn, like, it's a different world out there for parenting. It kind of also makes you learn what it was like, you know, when you were a kid and your parents, like, you get to see, like, oh, shit. Like, my parents knew I was lying to them when I did this, this, and this. Or, damn, they must have really loved me if they put up with all my shit, you know, for the first year of life, right?
Oh, yeah. And we just played them as fools, too. I mean, I did that cliche thing. You know, I'd ask my mom something, and if she said no, I went to ask my dad. And then next thing you know, they're fighting because one of them said yes.
Usually the dad.
My dad was like, yeah, sure. My mom was like, no, Lance. And then, oh, Travis and I would just stir stuff up all the time.
Yeah, you said it, man. Travis is your brother, Travis Darnell. I'm a Mets fan, like we said. So, you know, it's funny. You also have the sibling kind of thing, which, you know, I have now. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 3-month-old son. So, like, right now the daughter is just ragdolling him. She's like her baby doll, you know what I mean? She doesn't know really much. But you can see the dynamic starting to form. He's always smiling at her. And it's pretty cool that you have a brother in the bigs. You know, and I'm sure you guys also had, like, different games where, you know, one would have to go to one game, the other would have to go to another, you know, when you guys were going up and stuff like that, which was probably always, like, causing stuff in the house, and, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think it made him so much better, too, in comparison to his peers, because he was busy playing with me and my friends. You know, I was bigger and faster and stronger than Travis growing up, but Travis was a way better ball player than the majority of my friends. And when I look back at every level that I played at, he did better than I did when I was at that level, and that continued on through his professional career. So you know, your son has a older sister, and I'm sure he's gonna be a ladies' man, gonna be super comfortable around gals.
Dude, that's what I always say, because I have a younger sister and a younger brother, and I always said I was scared of girls until, like, I don't know, sophomore year of college. So it's like I wouldn't have been as scared of girls if I had, like, a sister to, you know, kind of lead me the way, tell me the tricks to them, or, you know, whatever it may be. And I'm happy to know he'll be like that. And this is a little tip for you. If you ever go for number two, it is the truest thing ever. You just stop caring as much about, like, if the pacifier fell on the ground, just put it in your mouth for a minute, wash it off. Like, you know, just like shake your hands hard a couple times. Like, they definitely, like, they kind of get the short end of the stick, and they get a little tougher because of it. And I'm sure Travis was kind of in that boat with you guys as well.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, with Jagger being our first child, my wife is a huge germaphobe. And if his hands would so much as touch the ground, she'd grab a wipe and clean his hands down. But now, you know, he's walking around and he falls and gets up and, you know, you just don't care as much. It's, you know, he's going to be just fine. Yeah. So, yeah, that's already starting for us. I'm starting to see that. But, you know, I can totally see why parents are over cautious that the first few months, you know, they're so fragile.
Oh, yeah. We're still doing the thing where we're looking in on him, making sure he's breathing. And it's like, you're like, I don't want to be the crazy parent, but I also don't want to be the parent that, like, just forgets about my kid in there. So, like, we are always doing that whole kind of thing. It's just how it is. So, you said you got a 1-year-old, and you said Jagger's his name. Now, is that after Mick?
Yeah, it might have something to do with it. I don't want him to follow in Mick Jagger's footsteps. But, you know, when Jagger was conceived, he was conceived the night that we opened up for Lady Antebellum. So there was that reference right there, the fact that he was conceived that night. And we only know because it was such a spur-of-the-moment thing when we decided to go ahead and try to have children. We had both of our parents' blessings, and we said, let's just go for it. And I just happened to catch that very first time, which made me feel extremely masculine. So I get to brag about that to my friends. he's a little rock star, man. He was born with a bunch of hair that just wanted to stand straight up.
Wow.
You know, if people were to comb through my Instagram and go back, they'll see Jagger's hair about 5 inches. Everything just wanting to go straight up. King. And he's our little studly man that walks around right now like a tipsy person at 2:30 a.m. leaving a bar.
That's awesome. And the fact, I always think it's pretty cool. Like, I'm sure the kids, like if my parents ever told me the night I was conceived, it would probably, like, scar me for life, because you think about them doing it, you know. But my son's the same way. We know the day he was conceived, and it was Bruno Mars was on the playlist, and we actually joked that we were going to name him Bruno when he was born, but we named him AJ instead for a different other, it's a whole other reason. But that's pretty cool, man. That, and you said, man, you're legit. You're like, the fact that you could become a Major League Baseball player and still have the talent to open up for Lady Antebellum is like, that blows an idiot who gets paid to make dick jokes on the internet. People like you blow my mind. So I just want to, like, and you're able to raise kids.
Hey, but that's a lot of fun too. But, you know, in all honesty, that kind of stuff had to take a back seat. Like, as soon as Jagger was born, it became very tough to get rehearsals in. It wasn't even about the music anymore. It just became all about Jagger, and I wanted to be with him. I mean, and the travel that goes hand in hand with the music is parallel to baseball. I mean, with baseball, we're gone a week at a time. And with music, especially, you know, depending on what genre you're with, for country, it's a little more family friendly, given that they'll leave on a Wednesday and then come back Sunday after their little circuits.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a rock artist or something like that, you're gone for months at a time. And that's not what I want for myself. I want to be there for Jagger so he could see me, and I want to watch him grow. And I don't like missing out on things. That stuff, it bugs me when I get the ass after not seeing him for about 2 weeks, a week even.
I was actually going to ask that too, because I mean, I work from home, which is awesome, but it's also, you know, like I have to, like, kind of peel myself away and, like, hide from them basically, or else my daughter will come downstairs and then I'll have to help out with the baby or whatever. But I'm always here, you know, for all the big events and whatever. And I won't lie to you though, Chase, like if I have a trip to go on for like 2 days or even just go into the city today to visit like Barstool HQ, I'm like, thank God I get the hell away from these crazy people and get out of there. And you know what? You miss the shit out of them by either the end of the day or the end of the weekend. And sometimes I've never missed anything huge, but like you come back and they're like different people, and I can't even imagine what it's like for you. Like, you go away for a full week and you come back. Now you I imagine that, you know, your wife and your son stay at home while you're on the road. Like, you I don't know if anyone really brings kids with them on the road, right?
Sometimes, but rarely. It is tough with kids. You know, luckily for us, I'm playing in San Francisco, which is a 6-hour drive from LA. You know, we live in Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village area, which is about 20 miles west of downtown Los Angeles.
Okay.
So sometimes if we're gone for a long road trip, she'll drive down, hang out with her family. And then when we come back up, she'll drive up with somebody and then I'll have them there. But we're new to San Fran, just joined the team about a week and a half ago. And Caitlin is way happier. My wife's name's Caitlin. She's wonderful. And now she has a whole team of wives that have kids. Whereas, you know, if you're ever in AAA, my whole career has been up and down. So whenever you're in AAA, there are not many guys that have kids. You know, you have some guys that are still single, prancing around and, you know, having fun doing that stuff. But, you know how it is. Like when a wife has some other women to hang around that have kids and they can all support each other, it makes the world of a difference.
It's night and day. And then like if by some chance you and the dad hit it off, I mean, even if it's not baseball play, you know, like if you and the dad hit it off and then the kids hit it off, it's like, oh my God, like that's how you become friends. Like I look at my parents' friends growing up now, it's a lot of people we became friends with and they hit it off with the parents. And those are the people who kind of stuck around. And sometimes it goes the other way where they meet as parents first. And then if they happen to have kids, but like, that's kind of what you do. Your life is your kids now once they're born. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And if you know, the closer you can get with the husband, if you guys click, it's awesome. Like I heard one of your previous podcasts, you guys talked about, you know, below the belt grooming and for like 5 minutes, it lasted for 5 minutes. And I was laughing so hard. And my wife just like, are you serious, Chase? Like, yeah, this is, it's like, this is what you're doing an interview. And I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. I love this.
We keep it real, man, because you know what? Too many people sugarcoat this thing, and it's doing nobody – it's doing you a great disservice as a parent if you think this thing's all sunshine and rainbows, because it chaos from the day you find out to the day they leave to go to college.
Yes, and that's what makes – you know, you touched on it earlier, like Seinfeld, and life is like a Seinfeld episode if you have that perspective. Like, it really can be. You know, it's if you're miserable, there's a way you can claw yourself out. But you just have to choose to do it and see the humor and all of the things that, you know, that may not bring other people joy.
Yeah.
That you could laugh at anything.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, even like you hear about like teen, like now I have a whole new respect for like teenage moms and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, how the hell did you guys fucking do that? Like you gave up your whole life and you had to raise a little shitty kid. If you did it by yourself, God, oh, like it's like mind blowing shit. And like, can you imagine if you had a kid in the minors? And you're busting around and you're doing that kind of, like you couldn't do it, right? You probably have to just call it a career at that point if you wanted to be happy with your family, right?
Yeah. Oh, my wife doesn't complain much, but you know, if there's ever a moment where I feel like she might be taking certain things for granted, I'd say, you know, hey, things could be a lot worse right now. You know, you could be like having to work right now and juggle all that. But, you know, fortunately for us, we're in a situation where she could be Jagger's, you know, caretaker instead of having to rely on a daycare and not knowing what goes on and not being with him. It's nice having him with, it's nice for me. It gives me peace of mind knowing that he's with my wife all the time. But you know, I feel like daycare, I was a product of daycare. I went to daycare. My parents both worked. They're probably positives to both, but I just haven't given it much thought because we haven't had to put Jagger in daycare yet. He's one.
Yep. It's funny you say that. I actually had this conversation this weekend with somebody. I was a product of mom being at home, and we're now sending my daughter to daycare because I did a year with her by myself, working from home with her, and I just kept her alive. She didn't learn a thing with me. I just basically made sure she didn't breathe, choke, or fall down the stairs. She didn't stop breathing, choke, or fall down the stairs. Uh-huh. And, you know, I think the hardest part about it is just the name daycare. Like when someone's like, oh, she's in preschool. I'm like, oh shit. Like that's preschool. I never thought of it like that. Like preschool sounds like such a more like proper, like, you know, educational and like formative thing for her than like just straight up daycare. It feels like they're taking care of your kid during the day. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like you're passing it along to them. And we were such little babies, man. We missed out on a daycare because we were so scared to give the deposit. We knew that was the end of it. And we were going on Google trying to figure out other ways that didn't involve sending a kid to daycare. And in the end, like, we just were like, we did it. We just grip it and rip it. And you know what? She came back. Her brain was popping. She, like, picked up a lot of new stuff from, like, learning. So there's, like, there's pros and cons to all of it. So
that's great.
Yeah,
it's cool. Probably become a lot more social that way with other kids. You know, sometimes you just got to let them go and, you know, set them free for a little bit. These caretakers also, they know what they're doing. You know, they know how to handle the kids and show them things that, you know, you and your wife or me and my wife might not be able to show them because it never occurred to us when it comes to developmental aspects.
Yep. Yep. And like I said, man, I'm a big dumb idiot. So I don't even think of like the my wife is great with her. She knows all the stuff. She's a teacher. So she knows all like the smart little things that get her brain popping. But with me, it's like, let's go play video games. Okay. That's like, but you know, everything has its, has its good thing. So that was actually my question was like, so you guys basically set up shop in LA. So if you get moved around, cause you know, you got, you've hit a few teams. If you can move around the country, your main headquarters is LA no matter what for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Long Beach, California. My wife grew up an hour and a half north of me here in Westlake. And we're in Westlake because you know, it's just more comfortable for my wife having her mom nearby, you know, to how that goes.
Yep,
it makes them feel more comfortable that way. But Long Beach is where I was raised. You know what I'm thinking about right now? You know, you said that you have a 3-month old boy.
Yep.
Okay, so is he at that point where he's just grabbing his junk constantly? I don't know if that's like my son when he's naked. He just wants to grab his junk. If he's in the bath, we're changing a diaper. And what really sucks is when he has crap all over his genitals. And then, it, you know, he's really strong for a one-year-old. And it's tough to change him when you're alone because you need one hand to hold the legs up and the other one to wipe the, you know, the stuff. And then he'll just reach around and give himself the old reach around. And then you have poop on his hand. It's a mess, man.
Oh, man. I have not made it there yet. We are still like, he still doesn't know. He's has problem grabbing anything. I did have my daughter who was like, you know, I think they all go through that phase where they're just like discovering themselves. And I was like to my wife, I'm like, yo, you have to deal with that. Cause I don't know what's going on down there. I don't know if this is normal, but like, I don't want to like, I don't even like saying the V word to her. She says, oh, you know, my vagina. I'm like, oh, God damn, girl. Don't you say
my ears.
my baby. So I haven't made it there yet, but just know, like, I do know for a fact that they just start, you know, they've touched everything else in their body. That's next. And you get the reaction out of you. You know, they get the reaction out of you. So then they're like, oh, like, this is the game we're playing right now. It's like, no,
it's a thing.
It's not a game.
It's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing. And sometimes he grabs them so hard and yanks at them. I'm just like, doesn't that hurt you, pal? Like, you know, it just looks like it would be painful, but he just does it. And yeah, I try to stop him, but I figure maybe one day he'll figure it out for himself that he probably shouldn't do it as hard.
There's life. A lot of things I'm scared of, like as they get older and then they start, you know, like I said, once your son's in his room as a teenager and the door's locked, you're like, there might be something going on in there that I don't want to know about. But again, it's like, what was I doing at that age? And everything I feel like is sped up in, you know, this day and age with the internet and stuff. It's like, but don't ask, don't tell. That's what life is going to be like.
Yeah,
you know, as a teenager,
you're absolutely right. Technology speeds all those stages up, doesn't it?
Oh, just wait till Jagger's asking for, like, you know, phone with Snapchat and all this. Like, Chaps has a teenage daughter, and, you know, she has to do the whole thing where she has Snapchat, but he can, like, has an app that can monitor her phone and stuff. And it's like, is that, like, privacy? It's like, well, it's my fucking daughter, so don't you worry about anyone's privacy right now, you know? It's like, it's those tough issues that you're going to have to just kind of go through. And that's what I think the Podfathers we do here is like, we just kind of give a sounding board. We have a mailbag and it's like, just ask questions and we can at least talk about it. Cause you're just in this shit. This is real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What is the appropriate age nowadays where parents are giving their kids, you know, like a phone, like what kind of phone does it have limited features? Like what is the, would you say is like that mean age, that common age makes the most sense?
I was talking to someone who had a 9-year-old. And he said he was getting it since he was like, you know, you got to keep up with the Joneses. He said like his son's friends were getting it at the age of 6. And he's like, there is no fucking way I'm letting someone, you know, my son have a phone at 6. You know, they'll play with our phone or whatever and the tablet, but like a straight up phone with, you know, any kind of apps. So like 6 on is when you might start. You know, because you have to deal. That's the other thing is you're dealing with other parents making mistakes or doing it their way. And then, you know, but mom, you know, Travis has this, and then it's like, oh, you know, now I have to fight it because her friends have, you know, his friends has it. So it's tough, man. And you know, it's only going to get crazier, but then there's also things in place where you can limit their apps and shit like that. I actually had a question for you after watching the music video, which again, Fatherhood Bling, you had the whole thing about, you know, you said waking up early, you're picking up the diapers and everything. Is that the one thing that is kind of nice about being different, separated from the family is those early, because you guys are playing late. That's the one thing that a lot of people forget about, like professional sports, is like your schedule is completely different than normal people's schedules because your work, you end at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, give or take. And then you got to have a baby screaming its brain out all morning, and then you have to get up, go to work. So is that one of the things that is kind of one of the little perks, I guess, to have is, you know, being away from your kids a little bit, is that at least you get to sleep and just kind of live a normal life?
Oh, yeah. You know, being on the road is nice. It's a break away from hearing Jagger playing at 6:30 a.m. after getting home and tiptoeing through the door at 11:30 p.m., you know, because I don't want to wake up Jagger or my wife. Yeah, you're right. Essentially, we're entertainers. Our games start at 7 typically. I get to the field around 2, leave at 11. And this past week, we were staying in a hotel. And this was our first experience being in a hotel with Jagger for an extended period of time. And, dude, during night games, so the game would end. I'd walk over to our hotel, and I'd have to creep through the door because you just have one room, right? And they give you a crib, which is great. You know, we really appreciate that. The hotel was great. But it's like as soon as I close the door, Jagger starts moving around, and then I stop breathing. I just want – oh, because as soon as he gets – you know, loses out on that first four-hour window, then it just becomes an it just becomes a mess. The rest
you're in
of the night,
shit.
Like crying.
You're in the shit.
Yeah. He starts crying, and then my wife gets a little frustrated, and she's like, "Oh, like Jagger, like please go to sleep." And then you know, meanwhile, I'm just like, "Oh man, I haven't even slept yet." But when I leave for the road, get back to your question. So I leave on the road. I bring my microphone. I bring all my recording equipment. Sometimes I bring my guitar, and that's when I can get my rocks off from a creative standpoint. I bring my microphone, and I can find an instrumental or make an instrumental, a hip hop song, and I could get some teammates in my room, and we all just lay down freestyle vocals, and then we brainstorm together and come up with these like fatherhood bling ideas. Like the next one, I was thinking about an idea for one about being Filipino. Like I'm half Filipino. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but there are a lot of really funny things about Filipinos that I think would be fun to rap about. But, you know, the San Francisco Giants seem to really be embracing all of the musical things I brought to the plate.
That's awesome. No, the song's fire, and it's catchy, and it hits home. You know what I mean? Like I saw it, I'm like, yep, that's like the kind of stuff I can get down with. Do you find yourself running in like different circles with teammates now? Like you probably have the teammates that are young, single, going out at night. Like are the people coming to your room or the other guys who, you know, may have families, you know, back at home and are just like, yo, I'm sure you have a mixed crowd, but do you find that a lot of the dads are going to dinner together and the single guys are going to dinner somewhere else?
Yeah. It's more like a single or married, and it just depends. Sometimes you have a team dinner, but yeah, usually the guys that are married and have kids can relate to each other more than the guys that are single. And now I get it, because when I was younger, I mean, I got called up in 2011 with the Pirates. I was 24 years old, and it was already like that. I was hanging with the guys that didn't have kids, and the guys that had kids just kind of went about their business differently, which now I totally get. Like, I get it. Like, when they said, like, oh, I can't, you know, like, whenever we were in Pittsburgh at home and we tried to hang out, they couldn't hang out. And now I get it. You know, I get the resentment. I get feeling bad for your wife when she's there taking care of your son after you're done playing for a game. Like, I feel like I need to be there to help her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I was out with the boys while she was home alone with Jagger, like, I didn't understand how time consuming it is taking care of a child. Like, we're looking forward to having a kid, and we love having Jagger. But I did underestimate how much time really goes into it. And I have a whole new respect for moms through this experience.
Oh, yeah, man. Mom, we say moms are the MVP, man. Kevin Durant said it best. Mom is the real MVP. And they're like ready for this shit, man. Like sometimes I get down on myself, like, because she does stuff so much better. But I'm like, she's just better at this than I am, you know? And a lot of them are not, you know, not everybody. But I'm like, hats off to you. And like you said, dude, like, I remember when I was young and all the old heads, you know, who were going home to their families, like, what, he doesn't want to hang out with us just because we're young and we're doing it our way? And it's like, no, there's nothing in the world that guy wants to do more than hang out with you, but he can't just leave, you know. Like I say, your wife is kind of your, like, partner in the bunker, and you guys are going through this together. You can't just, you know, leave her for a night out just to, you know, get loaded unless, you know, once or twice you go out, have some fun, party, or, you know, go out to a dinner or something like that. But you kind of just, like, you wouldn't want her to do it to you, so, because then everyone's in trouble. The kid's livelihood is at danger if my wife is gone without me there.
Gonna take a time out to talk to you about our friends at Hims. Not all of us can have sweet Cali bro surfer hair like our boy Chase Darno. In fact, pretty much everyone you hear on this podcast does not. And, you know, we could blame the kids for it and say it's their fault. But the fact of the matter is 66% of men start to lose their hair by the age of 35, which, you know, that's the magic number right now going on. And pretty much once you notice that hair is starting to go, it's gone for good. You may lose that hair and a little bit of confidence, and that's no good. You lose enough confidence just being a goddamn dad and getting older and all that other nonsense. So go to our friends at 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. They connect you with real doctors. They give you medical-grade solutions to treat the hair loss. And there's no waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits. You just go to 4hims.com. I know our boy Chaps has talked about making sure his hair stays where it is, and he's going to make sure the people at Hims are helping him out. There's no snake oil pills, no gas station counter supplements, prescription solutions backed by science. To order now, my listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So if you want to get it, go to 4hims.com/podfathers. That's FORHIMS.com/podfathers. 4hims.com/podfathers.
I haven't been to the office, to Barstool's office, in 2 months right now because I got sick. So I was gone for like a week. And then it just became like little man sleeping terribly. She was my 3-year-old sleeping terribly. And it's like, what am I going to do? Leave two tired kids with a tired wife and just be like, sorry, I'm going to go to the city and like live a fantasy life with a bunch of, you know, guys in their 20s and just hanging out with them. It's like, nah, can't do it. So I'm with you, man. I feel that 100%. I think a lot of people do. And this is the other thing though, I wanted to say, Chase, is I think when those younger people have kids, they'll look back in their lives and say, like, I hope the Barstool people I work with now be like, oh, Clem wasn't just an old weenie loser. He actually, like, wanted to hang out. It's just he couldn't because there's literally no moment to even – I can't even get to the movies, man. I want to see Jurassic Park. I can't even see the new Jurassic Park movie.
Looking back, Clem was one of the cooler dads out there.
He at least tried. He at least, like, you know, gave it the old college try and then, like, left at 6 o'clock instead of, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess when I reflect and think about other teams that I've been on, when we were on the road and the guys were away from their wife and kids, that, you know, we'd all go out together and you'd see a different side of them. You know, nothing too crazy, but you could just tell that it felt good for them to be away and to be hanging out with the team. And so you're right. That absolutely is a perk. But I do miss Jagger at the same time. There are like positives and negatives to it. Like, yeah, like I said, I get the ass after a while if I'm not seeing my son for a week or 2 weeks at a time.
Yep. And like I said, like when they come home, you're like, man, you've grown so much. I feel like I missed you like level up like 3 times like a video game. Like it's one of those things that just blows your mind every single time. So,
yeah, he's walking better. He's saying different words. Like for, you know, something really funny is like we couldn't tell if Jagger was saying dad or dog at first. At my parents-in-law's house, my in-laws have like 3-4 little dogs. And so Jagger loves like, you know, getting fed, and then half of his food that's on his tray will end up on the ground because he likes watching them eat all the food. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I'd walk in the room and be like, Jagger, like, dad, dad. And then he'd be like, dad, dad, dad. But the dogs are in there too. And then we started to realize over time that really he was saying dog because the dogs were in the room with us. Because, you know, whenever the dogs came, then he started saying it. So unfortunately, he didn't say dad first. He said the dog, but that's fine. That's fine.
that probably made your wife a little happy. Like he didn't say dad, but he didn't say mom, but he didn't say dad. He just said dog, and he's a sharer. He likes to share with animals. That's a good trait to have, Jagger. He's a good kid.
Oh yeah. You know when he yells mom the most is at nighttime when he wakes up at about 1 a.m. and he's.
Yo, I know you're fist pumping to yourself when they say mom, because I know I do. Like when my daughter wakes up and like my wife will wait like until she to see if she's gonna say dad after like 2 or 3 times, but if she stays with mom, it's like, yep, you're on the hook, she's requesting you. This is a request right now.
that's true. It makes you feel like a rock star, but then it's like, okay, I gotta get out of bed and do this. I mean, well, I go to sleep with earplugs in now.
that's smart.
I had to in the hotel.
Yeah.
Travel a lot heavier with a baby. Whenever you're traveling, like traveling down in the truck today, I'd say about 2/3 of the truck was just filled with his baby stuff.
So how did you get out to the hotel? Like do you guys take a hotel if it's in driving distance? Or I guess that's the thing people don't realize. I'm becoming a minivan guy. Is when you load up that truck the first time, you're like, yo, we don't have room like we used to have room back when it was just us two. You know, it's a different world.
Yeah, it really is. I get why minivans are a lot more practical for families. And we haven't looked into it because we only have one child. But as soon as you have two, then I could see why you switched over, right? You have two now?
Yeah.
So what kind of minivan? Oh, no, you know, I heard this episode. It was a Sienna?
Yep.
Sierra?
Yep. Sierra. Toyota Sienna. And my daughter's name is Sienna. My wife and I met at Sienna. It's a, we're the weird family on the block now.
Ah, nice. The Siennas. The Sienna family. If yeah, those are spacious. I remember those when they first came out back in the day.
Yep. If you ever need totally a minivan safe. Recommendation, you hit me up and I'll talk to your ear off for hours about them. Because apparently once you get a van, you become like a weird van person. And I'll just be like, you know, telling you how great they are. It, you know, you lose some coolness. Now, again, you're a Major League Baseball player that is also in a band. So you have a lot of coolness to spare. And you're also from Cali. So it makes you like, I don't know, like 50% cooler. I even said Cali trying to be cool. I said Cali like I'm a cool guy. Like I'm a surfer dude.
I think everybody says Cali now. I didn't realize how many people like saying Cali until I left California. Everybody referred to it as Cali. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just call it Cali.
Have you ever gotten in trouble for calling it San Fran?
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
People do like SF more.
I know they just don't like being called San Fran. I said San Fran in a couple blogs, like it's called San Francisco or it's called SF. Like it is not San Fran. And I'm like, so do not call do not say San Fran to any of the residents out there. They take it very personally, apparently.
Right? I had no idea. I didn't know. I'm glad that you and I are talking about this right now because I probably would have said that. SF. San Francisco, SF. It's cool up there. Trendy aspect, you know, everything is pretty awesome up there. But the temperature in itself, I didn't realize how cool it remained during the summer. Like I have games at 7 or day games, and I'm wearing long sleeves.
Yep.
Like that bay weather stays nice and cool. It's refreshing after having the majority of my career on the East Coast where it's humid, you shower and you walk outside and you're sweating right away. It's not the kind of weather that I'm used to in the summer, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, my wife and I took a vacation. That everyone always says, what should you do before you have kids? Take a vacation, take a big like we did a Cali vacation, and I remember we hit San Francisco up, and it was in August, and it was freezing. Like we had jackets on, and we were cold at some parts because it was just like breezy off the water, and you know it was just seasonably like 60 something degrees, and yeah, it's something you didn't know. And It's the land of Full House too. I mean, if you can't get a better parenting spot than that, you know, you bring the kid up there. I mean, the Tanner household, that if you didn't grow up, you know, idolizing the Tanners, what were you doing with your life? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I know all about that. I was talking to Andrew McCutcheon, Big Cutch. They were the same age. There are a lot of guys that are 31 on our team that were in the same draft class. So we were talking about shows like Recess, what was on Nickelodeon back when we were in school. And Full House, I was into Family Matters. I like watching Urkel.
Heck yeah.
A lot. That was a big thing with me and my bro. But let's see.
They what just, they're bringing back Rugrats. They just announced, I just blogged it like 5 minutes ago. They're bringing back Rugrats. Isn't that awesome?
No, I'm curious what it's going to look like now because I saw an episode recently and I was like, wow, that's what the cartoon looked like back then. Like this is, I'm surprised I wasn't scared when I was a little kid, right? Like the way the animation is, like I'm sure it's going to be much different now.
It's going to be, yeah, and they're doing a live, I heard they're going to do like a live action movie with CGI characters and stuff. So it's going to be a whole different world for sure. For sure.
Wow. Technology. So where do you live? Where do you and your family?
I've grown up my whole life in New York. So I've been in New York my whole life. So the humid summers and the cold winters, I've lived them all. And I'll tell you, man, all things being equal, if I could just find a way to convince my wife that like LA is the place to go, I would do it tomorrow. I was actually kind of hoping Barstool would open their office in LA so I could tell her we have to go out there. Because I'll tell you, man, I'm about done with having kids or just living here is hard enough. Doing both and having kids in the snow and in the heat, it's for the birds, man. Just make any part of life you can control a little easier. And that's what I would love about LA. At least I tell myself that.
Yeah, you know, New York is a place where it's tough to find a place that has that kind of energy. And it's so international. Like, you know, when you're young and you're walking around New York, it was invigorating. Like, I loved how empowering it was just walking around the city streets and seeing everything. So much energy. But I could see how that could be challenging raising a child there and having a family with the weather and all that kind of stuff. So, and Travis has lived in the Manhattan area for a couple seasons. And then he's settled up in the Long Island City area.
Yep.
And I really like the way it looks like from there, looking at Manhattan from outside of it.
Yep. It's nice. I lived in Astoria, which is right, you know, like a neighbor to Long Island City. It's awesome. And like, it's quieter at night. You can kind of chill, but you're still right there in the hustle and bustle if you want.
Yeah. They have that cool dog park that's near the water where mm-hmm. they have a retriever, a fox red lab named Riley, and you know, Travis and his wife, Brittany. They're actually going to be parents too soon. They're about 5 months pregnant.
Oh, congrats.
So, you know, maybe we get Travis on the podcast at some point.
Heck yeah,
have
man.
Have a three-way call.
Hey, you don't, again, this is the most important thing. We said this before. We said even before the call. The thing about Podfathers and just life, do not sugarcoat it for him. Let him know all the good stuff, but let him know the bad stuff. Like I always say, when the delivery room, stay north of the wall. You don't want to see what's coming out of that spot. Nothing but danger and terror is coming out of that spot. But some people love that stuff. I was terrified of it. But like, tell him all the truth, all the good stuff that's come with parenting and all the bad stuff he should be expecting. Because you got to be all ready going into this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Like I was one of those guys that wanted to see everything. And so Jagger was born June 26th of last year, 2017. And in the middle of the season, you get 3 days off, a 3-day paternity leave. And I was in San Diego. I was with the Padres. We had an off day. My wife called me at 9:30 a.m. And she said, you know, I'm having some pre-contractions. Stay in San Diego. She was 3 hours north of me of where I was in the LA area. And I said, okay, I'll stay here until you tell me to come. You know, she's like, I think they're just going to send me home. So the afternoon rolls around and I don't hear anything. And, you know, I was just at the apartment hanging out with a couple teammates, but still waiting for a call. And I just figured, okay, everything must be fine. Then I get a call at 4 from my mother-in-law very calmly. She said, hey, Chase, you know, how's it going? You know, we're here at the hospital still. And the nurse said that the baby was coming. So you better be on your way. She just dropped it so casually like that because I could tell she was just in the room with Kate and she was trying to be very mellow, you know. So I'm like, oh, crap, it's a Tuesday and it's 4 o'clock. The traffic's going to be terrible from San Diego all the way up to L.A. So, you know, I already had a bag packed. I got on the road and I got there in just like 2.5 hours. I didn't hit any traffic somehow. I got very lucky. I walked through the door. I hustle in there. And the doctor's like, grab a leg. So I hop in there and I'm like holding her left leg up. And I'm leaning to the left. I'm pointing left leg and leaning to the left so I could see what's going on the other end of that curtain. And it was interesting. Very interesting. You know, we don't need to get into all the details, but I was watching everything.
Oh, man. God bless you, man. That's like being called up to the show. It's like going from like AA and then you're facing like Syndergaard 100 miles per hour the next night. It's like, boom, you didn't know that was coming. But hey, I guess like the traffic god smiled on you, which the little I know about Cali, it's like the one negative. It's like the 405 to the 1 to the 5 to the 100, whatever it is. Like I know it's chaos. So
here comes the 94 mile an hour splitter. Snip.
Oh,
ouch.
Yo, that's
change up.
Oh man, our boy Chaps always says you'll never be able to unhear the sound of scissors cutting flesh, and I'm like, Chaps, I'm very happy my wife had 2 C-sections after hearing that, because just saying that phrase just gave me goosebumps up and down my body. So,
oh man, that's seeing the aftermath too.
Oh.
But it makes you appreciate your wife that much more, that she's that, you know, has to endure something like that. Like, oh god.
Yep, and the fact that some of them even want to do it again and again, like God bless them, they're the true MVPs, man. We love them, and we'd be absolutely we would have ceased as a species centuries ago if we didn't have wives, you know, women the way they are. So shout out to them. Shout out to Chase for joining, man. Thanks again, man. You're literally a rock star. You're a baseball player. Follow him at Chase Darno on Twitter. What do you got on Instagram? You got Instagram too?
Yep, my Instagram, just my first and last name, Chase Darno, ChaseDarnaud. And you know, I have fun posting some content. I've learned I have a lot of fun with the video editing stuff, so I have some good stuff on there.
Yeah, it's funny. You got some good stuff, and like, we'll put the video on the Podfathers account. If you want to follow him, hit him up there. And anything else you want to shout out?
Nah, man, everything's good. Just thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it. This has been a good part of my day.
No, same here, man.
I'm looking forward to what the rest of the day holds, and it's been good getting to know you.
No, same here, bro. Same here. Enjoy, and thanks again, man. Have a good one.
All righty, go Barstool.